This is Capital Insider, your inside look at Oklahoma politics and policy. I'm Dick Pryor with eCapital News Director Sean Ashley. And our guest is Republican State Representative Josh Cockcroft of Wanette, who represents Cleveland and Pottawatomie counties. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Representative, you're leading a special investigation into the State Department of Health, which wound up $30 million short in its budget this year and saw a series of resignations, including that of Commissioner of Health Terry Klein. What's the status of that investigation now?
Well, it's currently ongoing. We've held over the last several weeks and honestly months several hearings before the House of Representatives where we've brought in individuals that have been a part of the health department over the last several years just to gain a better understanding of what happened to get into the situation that the department's in, as well as what's being done right now to remedy the situation, then also a look into the future to ensure that something like this never happens again.
You also expanded the probe to other agencies.
We did.
Why?
Well, the Speaker, when he set up this committee and named me the chairman of the committee, he gave us the purview to not only look into the situation at the State Health Department, but also to state government spending as a whole. And so, you know, as we go throughout this investigation and as we've seen several systematic problems in state government, not just an isolated situation for one agency, but general accounting practices, internal controls that were not used at the State Department of Health. But the reason they weren't used is because it's not a uniform practice across state government. So we're going to continue to expand into other areas. And as long as we have leads of mismanagement, we're going to continue to look into those.
Were you surprised to learn that there is no standard accounting practice within state government and state agencies?
Very much so. You know, as a lawmaker, it's every year I am tasked, as well as the entire membership of the House of Representatives and the Senate, to come up with a budget, obviously, for the state of Oklahoma every spring. And to have gone through that process seven times and realize that there are not some simple, like I said, accounting practices and internal controls that aren't uniform across state government, it's concerning. You know, you would never run a business like that. And quite frankly, if any business had run itself the way that portions of state government had, it would have been shut down long ago because of the lack of those processes.
Do you have a timetable for concluding your work?
We don't. You know, we're going to continue to, as long as we receive information pointing to things that need to change, things that need to be put in place to ensure that a situation like this doesn't happen again, we're going to continue to look into those. The Speaker has not given us a timetable other than to say that we're, as long as we find some mismanagement, as long as we find that there's not those general practices and smart business sense being used, we're going to continue to look into our agencies.
Are you finding that other agencies are using questionable financial practices?
Well, that's what we're going to continue to dig into. You know, we've expanded into the Department of Tourism as well as Office of Management and Enterprise Services for right now. OMES is the agency in charge of moving the monies around into accounts for all of the state agencies. So we thought it was important to go there fairly soon so that some of those safeguards could be put in place to ensure that it doesn't go elsewhere. But, you know, we received lots of tips, lots of things that have pointed towards other agencies having some of this trouble. So we're going to continue to go down that path.
You established a tip line when your committee began its investigation. About how many tips have you received and are they still coming in?
They are still coming in. Over the time period of this investigation, we've received over 60 tips to date. And as I mentioned, they still do continue to pour in. And that's from not only concerned individuals across the state, but state employees with positions where they feel like some of this information needs to get out without, you know, being able, without retribution against them in their capacity. So it's been a very helpful look into some of these other agencies, and quite frankly, one of the reasons why we did expand so quickly to some of the other agencies.
Several members have asked during the course of the investigation about fears that health department employees might have had if they had gone public with their concerns. And you mentioned state employees coming forth with tips. Do you think the state needs to sort of re-examine perhaps its whistleblower statute to make sure that employees have protection when there is legitimate wrongdoing or mismanagement taking place.
Without a doubt. And I think, you know, there have been several members that have come forward and have said that they're working on legislation this coming session that begins in February to make sure that there are those safeguards there, to make sure that there is a safe work environment for all of our state employees. Because the reality is, you know, we're hearing the headlines and we read the headlines of all the bad stuff that's going on. The reality is that there are hundreds and thousands of state employees across the state that are doing their job, and they're doing it very well. And we don't want to negate from that, but we also want to be able to provide protection so that, if, like you said, they do see those instances in their agency that need to be fixed or that are a problem, we want to make sure that they're protected and able to do that.
During the investigative committee hearing, some legislators seemed surprised that the Office of Management and Enterprise Services did not have more oversight along the way. Do you see that changing? Do you see some recommendations coming as far as oversight and who will handle that and how it will be done?
Yes, I think you're going to see a number of measures this coming year, in this coming session, that are going to be focused on making sure that there's better communication, not only between the executive branch and the legislative branch, but better communication between the state agencies and our legislative and executive branches, so that when we come together as a lawmaker body and the Senate comes together as their body every spring, we have an accurate picture of what exactly our state finances are, so that we're not doing guesswork, so that we know what the right questions to ask to ensure that our state taxpayer dollars are spent effectively and efficiently. So we're going to see several measures. I have several measures that I'll be working on this next year in my capacity as the chairman of the committee, and I know many other members have also stepped up and said, yes, we're going to continue to take a look into it.
One of the issues that has come up in the hearings is that the Office of Management and Enterprise Services only sees top-line numbers, right, not the detail of some of the accounts within the agencies. That can be fixed, but it's going to take money to do that. Do you think there'll be a willingness this legislative session to invest in the changes that are necessary to address those concerns?
I do, because, you know, as we've taken a look at this whole process, at the very core of what we're trying to do is put processes in place to fix the problem. We are obviously in a situation where we need additional revenue for other areas of state government. But we also, you know, a huge focus for many legislators is making sure those reforms are there as well. Well, it takes money to put those reforms into place. And so being able to have those modes of communication strengthened between the agencies and the legislative and executive branches, it takes time as well as money to change kind of the status quo of how it's happened up to this point. So you're gonna see a continued look into making sure those reforms are put into place. And yes, they may have a little bit of a price tag to them.
Agency budget hearings are underway, with the start of the legislative session coming the first week in February. How has the knowledge of health department financial practices informed questioning in those hearings?
I think as we go through this budget process, you're gonna hear a whole different type of questions being asked. I think you're gonna have a renewed look by legislators who, through this investigative committee's process, are going to see some things that we've never really seen before, but also have never really known how to ask before, because a process of how state agencies spend their money is it's very complex and it's very difficult to wrap your mind around, especially as a new member. If you're coming into the legislature, you just simply don't understand all of the inner workings of state finances. And so, you know, as we go through this budget process, you're going to hear different types of questions being asked, as well as looking for specific sets of information, and then as well as looking for documentation to back that up. You know, because we as legislators so often take the word of the agencies providing the information or OMES providing the information. You're going to see lawmakers do more work by themselves and in the committee structure to ensure that the numbers are accurate and that we're able to appropriate accurate funds for each of the agencies.
I sat through about 10 hours of budget hearings this last week that included some members from the Special Investigation Committee. I did not hear some of the probing questions that I thought I would hear. Is it possible that those ideas are already losing momentum and that members are falling back into their old ways?
Well, the budget process is a long process. And, you know, as you know, covering the Capitol for many years, nothing's finalized until May. And so we're beginning the process at this point. So to answer your question, I would say it's early on. And we are still gathering information. You know, the investigation is still going on, and not all of the members that are in these budget hearings have been privy to the amount of information that the committee members and some of the media have had. So it's going to change. It's going to take a change in the status quo. It absolutely will take that to ensure that we're being effective and efficient with taxpayers. And that is incumbent upon every member. Every member has a responsibility to dig into those numbers and to affect that change and be that change within state government. It's a tremendous responsibility, but it's also a responsibility that takes some time to, with this new information, kind of change how we've done things in the past.
Could part of that change be to expand the pre-session budget hearing process? Each day, probably half a dozen agencies came through these hearings. There was limited time. Members could not probe deeply into those budgets. Do they need to be more focused and isolated and maybe begin in November or October?
Yeah, you're speaking my language now, because you know it's been a tremendous frustration for me over these last 8 years of the lack of time that we actually have to put towards digging into some of these numbers. And if you remember this past session, right before we actually started in October or so, bringing in some of the top agencies, I think we need to continue to do that. I think there are processes that need to be put in place and continued that have been begun that are. Honestly, still in the inception stages of those ideas. We're never going to get an accurate picture unless we are willing to spend the time to dig into those numbers and find answers. That's just the reality. And as a part-time legislature, and yes, we are a part-time legislature, even though we've been in session all year, it's our job as elected officials to do our job. And anything else, the state of Oklahoma is going to suffer from that.
How deep do you think lawmakers want to get into agency budgeting down to line items? Do you think that's going to be something to be watching for during this upcoming legislative session?
Yes, and those discussions have been going on for several months now, because as a lawmaker just passing a broad state budget by signing a blank check over to these agencies to spend money how you will, that's kind of what has gotten us into the place that we are in now. We've had extensive conversations in leadership to try to go towards a more line item focus when it comes to state budgeting. The chair of the House Appropriations Committee, Kevin Wallace, he is working diligently on some of the ways to be able to do that. It's a tough thing to do, because you're dealing with not only dozens of different agencies' budgets, but each budget is really done in a different way. It's very hard to put a uniform place and process when it comes to line iteming. But we're going to continue those talks, and we're going to continue to work towards that, because that ensures that when agencies are given their budgets, they have very strict guidelines on how those funds can be spent, and it lessens the opportunity to get into a situation that we've gotten to in the past that has kind of brought forward this special investigative committee.
Funding for agencies that deliver health services is an issue, has been an issue. It was an issue in special session. What do you expect the legislature to do this year, with another budget hole coming, to make sure that there are not shortfalls for those agencies.
We're going to remain focused on core services, the core services that Oklahomans have expect and deserve need to be there to have an effective state government. Those services have to be provided. In regards to the health department and health agencies, you know, that have had some of this these shortfalls, and then with the mismanagement that we've seen at the health department, one, you know, we've heard from the new interim director of all of the mission creep, and we've heard through these investigative committee hearings of the mission creep, where the department went outside the bounds of what the legislature and the executive branch really wanted it to go towards. And we had funds being expended towards areas that could have been used more wisely in other areas. And so pulling back to what the original purpose and original mission of those agencies are is key, but also continuing to try to provide a funding climate that addresses the needs of Oklahomans and what is needed on a daily basis.
The regular 2018 legislative session starts in a couple of weeks, but we are still in the second special session. Do you see lawmakers coming back to consider revenue-raising measures in the second special session?
Well, the House is ready to come back as soon as we have a plan. We have met extensively over these past few months, over the holidays, and now towards the waning moments of January, to work with industry leaders, to work with business leaders, to work with the executive branch to put forth a plan for revenue in the state of Oklahoma. And we're going to continue to have those meetings. I think it is key that we do not get into another situation like we had during the first special session, where we convene and then nothing happens for 8 to 9 weeks because there was no agreement. And I think there's uniformed agreement across the executive and the legislative branch that we don't need to do that again. We need to have an agreement, a bipartisan agreement between Republicans and Democrats, executive and legislative alike, before we charge forward. We've obviously had the business group that stepped up with a plan. We're currently working with them. We're working with our members to try to come up, because no one is arguing that there are certain areas in state government that need more appropriations. It's just trying to find a consensus amongst the House and the Senate to get there with the difficulties that State Question 640 provide.
Do you think that consensus can be reached?
I do, because, you know, if every member comes into a special session or regular session with the ability to compromise, with the ability to work together, to put petty partisan politics aside, I think anything's possible. I will always be an eternal optimist. The process has been difficult, but I believe that Oklahoma's best days are ahead.
Year after year, Oklahoma has had budget holes to deal with. In recent years, it's been continuous. Why would it be different this year than in past years in terms of finding a solution for revenue generation?
Well, State Question 640 is a huge hurdle for us to get over, because in State Question 640, 75% of the legislature has to vote for a revenue-raising measure, and that what that means is any tax increase. What the House of Representatives and the Senate has done over the last several years is some changes in our tax code to pull back on some of the deductions and credits and subsidies that are given to certain industries or certain entities across the state, which has started to bring in more revenue without actually raising any taxes. So some raises and some fees and some fines has brought in more money. So we're to the point now where, you know, with the latest numbers from the Board of Equalization, we are not going to be in near of the position that we've been in the last 3 or 4 years. You know, 3 years ago, we were at $1.3 billion deficit. We're looking at about 114 to about 400. That number is a little bit nebulous right now, but we're in a much better spot because of some of the tough decisions that we've made over the last several years. But there's still a lot more to do, because, as back to our conversation about core services, core services have to be provided, and core services require appropriations. And those appropriations sometimes raise for things like teacher pay raises and core things that the state of Oklahoma has come to expect.
The Oklahoma Public Employees Association talked about the need for qualified state employees to provide those core services. And one of the concerns is we're losing qualified state employees because of state employee pay. They haven't had a pay raise since 2006.
Right.
As Sterling Zerley pointed out, the professional basketball team in Oklahoma City then was the Hornets, and Justin Bieber was 12 years old. Do you see a state employee pay raise being on the table this year? And if so, does it pass?
I hope so. And I think the appetite is there, at least in the House of Representatives, because we do see the same situation as with our teachers for the state of Oklahoma. It's been so long since qualified and deserving individuals have received a pay raise on the education side, the same, as you mentioned, for the state employee side. I have been a co-author of several state employee pay raises over the last several years, so I'm going to continue to push for it. And I think there is an appetite because we do see an aging state employee workforce. I have a facility in my district that employs state employees, and the tenure for most of those employees is several decades. And we're gonna consistently see a turnover, and we have to recruit and we have to retain for state jobs. And so that's going to be at the forefront of our focus this coming year to ensure that we can have those employees around.
The House Republican Caucus held its retreat recently. What will be on the top of its agenda when the regular session starts?
Fixing the problem. And you can take that one of two ways. Fixing the problem and putting our state government in a better place to provide the core services that are desperately needed in the state of Oklahoma, and also to fix the problem in some of the mismanagement that we've seen over the last several years, and the divide that has happened in state politics. We are focused on that which we've heard from our constituents every single day. I've heard it from my constituents every day since I've been elected, is fix the problem. And you know, right now there is an overall atmosphere that the legislature can't work together, that the legislature can't get anything done. We're out to prove them wrong, and we're out to serve the people of Oklahoma to the best of our ability. So that's going to be at the forefront.
I want to ask a question about core services. You've mentioned it a few times. Legislators often talk about the need to properly fund core services. I think most people have a basic understanding of what might be core services. Is there a consensus on what is not a core service?
That's kind of a buzzword, isn't it? Legislatures like to use that as well as like local control in education. What does that actually mean? What does it not mean, I think, is your question.
Yes.
I think it means to ensure that state agencies are providing the services that are needed, however, in places where it possibly can be turned over to the private sector. I think that industry in the state of Oklahoma, whether it's the oil and gas industry, the wind industry, manufacturing, whatever industry you want to pick from, what we hear on a daily basis is provide the tax structure, provide the infrastructure that is needed, and then get out of the way. Allow us to from a regulatory standpoint, provide business and industry in the state of Oklahoma without government interfering. And I think whether you're conservative, whether you're liberal, whether you're moderate, I think all of us would have somewhat of the same definition of what that looks like. There will always be arguments on either side of the political spectrum of what that actually looks like. I think there's a middle ground that we can meet and agree on, that industry is able to thrive where it needs to thrive, and government is able to do what it does best and provide the things that daily Oklahomans need, such as an infrastructure and a tax code that is friendly to those industries and businesses.
What about core services that impact people that are not in industry? There are things that people rely on from their government that are not considered those business-oriented core services. How does the legislature feel about protecting those or improving access to those services?
I guess I'm still not understanding your question.
If core services are more geared toward those kinds of services that business and industry wants to be successful or needs to be successful. What about core services that regular people may be needing?
Sure. I think your everyday Oklahoman is looking for a state government that puts policies in place to allow, just like the industry and businesses, to allow them to thrive without needless interference in their daily lives. So I think whether it's business, industry, or the constituents of this state, I think they're all in the same boat to say we want our state government to be streamlined and effective, but we also want the opportunity to thrive outside of the services that are provided by the state government.
Not to put you on the spot, but to put you on the spot. What, in your mind, is the service the government is providing today that perhaps should be moved to the private sector?
I think less than a core service that is provided would be our overall tax code in the state of Oklahoma. Because whether you are an employer, an employee, or unemployed, our tax structure affects you. And so being able to ensure that Oklahomans are able to spend more of their hard-earned money as they see fit, I think that's a general ask of all Oklahomans, to ensure that you're keeping more of your paycheck. I think we've seen at the federal level just recently with the tax cuts that were pushed through Congress and signed by the president, there was a cry for the ability to keep more of your hard-earned dollars and spend it as you see fit. The debate between, as we've talked about, the debate between what someone calls a core service or what someone does not call a core service, that's always going to be there because there are different political ideologies. However, the opportunity for every Oklahoman to keep more of their hard-earned dollars and spend as they see fit, I think that's something that all Oklahomans want to push towards.
That's Capital Insider. If you have questions, email us at news@kgou.org or contact us on Twitter @KGOU News. Until next time, with Sean Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.